Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning at this time, we have a visit from the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning, Doc. I want to ask you first about this study regarding Paxlovid, reducing the risk of long COVID. That sounds like good news.
Yeah, it really is. You know, and this is a study that came out of the VA, so it's a well-done study that, you know, we're looking and trying to figure out how we can prevent long COVID, because we really have tried to get down to the basis of what is long COVID. And it looks like those individuals that were treated with it had about a 25% decrease in the chance of getting long COVID. And people say, well, why might that be? And we're starting to look to see if long COVID is actually a longer infection at a low grade, where Paxlovid has eliminated the virus from your body, or has helped eliminate it, get to a lower level. So very encouraging news, and will certainly increase the chance or the use of Paxlovid once someone tests positive.
Also, this sounds like good news. Pfizer says the Omicron booster is generating a stronger immune response than the original vaccine. What do you know about this?
Yeah, this is good and kind of what we expected, right? The original vaccine, we knew, was going against the initial strains of COVID. Now that we know that we put this up against the Omicron with the BA4, BA5, it certainly is good that now we can look at this and see the immune response is very good, which is really important because we're starting to see more subvariants, but they're coming off of that BA line. So very good news, and hopefully individuals are getting not only their flu shot, but the COVID booster that we're now showing works so well.
In the category not so good news this morning, RSV and kids and hospitalizations up. What's the story around here? Because I saw a report last night saying nationally hospitals were really reaching near capacity on this.
Yeah, the pediatric side is at capacity. I tell you, Saturday I received a call from Dr. Coker, the head of our emergency department at our sister hospital at Delnor out in Geneva. They had a little 16-month-old. There was not a single PICU bed in the entire state. They had to transfer that patient all the way up to Madison, Wisconsin. So certainly RSV cases are running rampant right now. And, you know, it is. It's not good news. We're looking at the perfect storm, where we've eliminated RSV and flu from kids over the past couple of years because we isolated them and really minimized things. Now that they're back to normal, we're seeing this big wave. And we normally don't see RSV until, you know, December, January, February. And here we are seeing it. We're seeing it in August, and we're seeing, obviously, many, many more cases right now. But there's some good news on the horizon with RSV.
Is there going to be a vaccine soon?
Yeah, that's probably the biggest news, and it's unfortunate. It's like going to be a year late, probably. But Pfizer has put in, they're submitting it right now, their information on a vaccine for RSV, which would be the first one. Many companies are working on this, but Pfizer has got some very good data, and they'll be submitting it to the FDA here shortly.
Continuing now with Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Most, let's talk about lung cancer, and the screening recommendations have changed in recent years, haven't they?
Yeah, Bob, we're really starting to look at the impact of identifying lung cancers early. And really, people say, well, how do you screen for lung cancer? And it's a simple CAT scan, very painless. I mean, takes just a few seconds, but we do. We're now looking at individuals who have a 20-pack year history. So in other words, they've smoked a pack a day for 20 years, or they've quit in the last 15 years. And as long as they're between the ages of 50 and 80, they should have that test done. Because we know that if we find this early, it's very treatable versus individuals where we find it later in life or later in the disease where it's immanageable.
I'm very interested in this. My father died from lung cancer at age 80, and he had been a heavy smoker, but had quit, probably for 30 years, maybe. But and that time, years ago, too, they didn't routinely screen for lung cancer, and maybe they would have caught something early on had these protocols been in place then.
Absolutely. That and another other thing, an interesting point that you brought up is that he had smoked for a while or for a long time and then quit. A new study that just came out, you know, shows that individuals who were smoking prior to the age of 45 and then quit at the age of 45 and didn't have another cigarette, their risk of lung cancer dropped by 90%. Individuals who smoked up to the age of 35 and quit, they went back to the original risk for the general population. So it's two things. One, it's about identification. Two, it is about individuals who right now are around the ages of 30 to 40. I would say if you quit now, your chance of lung cancer goes back to just those who are non-smokers. So very important study, and it just came out last week.
We hear sometimes about people who never smoked and still get lung cancer. How prevalent is that?
It's not as prevalent. I mean, when you look at the total number of cases, certainly there are a lot that are non-smokers, but the vast majority, over 90%, are individuals who smoke. We still get exposed to a lot of different things that can cause lung cancer. Radon. Why do we do radon screening in our homes? Because it can cause lung cancer. So certainly we have other people that are exposed to asbestos and got lung cancer. We have other people who are exposed to other toxic chemicals and have caused lung cancer. But certainly smoking is still the number one cause.
And as far as lung cancer in men, lung cancer in women, is it mostly a male disease?
No, you know, I wish I could say it was. It really isn't. You know, when we look at it, both men and women have, it's the number one cause of cancer death. So you can take cancer deaths of colon cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, add them all up, and you still don't come close to the total number of deaths from lung cancer. So it is not a male or female disease. It is definitely based on your lifestyle and social choices.
What about people who are vaping?
Well, you know, Bob, when vaping first came out, and vaping has only been around since 2003, when vaping first came out, this was going to be the alternative. This was going to be the one that is going to be much safer. Well, two things have happened. One has come out, has shown that vaping really has the same cardiovascular risk. In other words, the damage to the blood vessels by vaping is just as it is with cigarettes. So we know that people that smoke have a much higher incidence of heart disease, have a higher incidence of heart attacks, of strokes. Vaping appears to just go parallel with that. We don't have enough data now, and mainly because it's used by young people, as far as the impact on lung cancer. But I can tell you probably one of the more scary things is the study that came out showed that vaping and cigarette smoking at the same time. In other words, I smoke cigarettes, but I can't at certain times, so I vape. You have an increased risk of both lung disease and cardiovascular disease.
Kind of scary how many young people are using an e-cigarette these days, isn't it?
It is. You know, and the scary thing is when we look at the impact of COVID, you know, vaping right now, a 25% increase in vaping for middle and high schoolers last year alone. That is an enormous jump. Even with all the bad press and the press about e-cigarettes and vaping, 2.5 million middle school and high schoolers used an e-cigarette in the last 30 days. That's very discouraging.
What about people who smoke marijuana?
Well, you know, marijuana smoking obviously is going to increase as it's legalized more, and we're finding more and more medicinal uses for it. So now it's going to be a point of, are we ever going to have filters for marijuana to try to take out some of the carcinogens that are seen in marijuana? But the much lower. I mean, if you look at cigarettes, you're talking about thousands and thousands of chemicals that have been treated with that, and over 70 of them are known to be carcinogens. Most of the marijuana is taken straight from the plant and used immediately without any treatment. If we start to use more medicinal and start to get it more manufactured, I think you're going to see more chemicals being used, and you might see an increase in the chance of lung cancer with them.
But isn't inhaling any smoke bad for your lungs?
Yeah, it is. You got to remember, you know, lungs do two things. One, they supply oxygen, obviously, to the rest of our body, probably the most important thing. But they also are a filter to make sure that other toxins don't get in. But, you know, those toxins, when they get into the lungs and they get into the smallest portion of the lungs, the changes that can be made there and the damage that can be made there is very important. I mean, even something, look at, you know, we were just talking about RSV. Individuals who get RSV at a very young age and it gets to those smaller portions of the lung can cause damage. just as any chemicals, you know, smoke filters. Our nose can't filter out enough of the stuff that enough of the chemicals that end up getting down into our lungs.
People smoking weed, you know, they'll take a hit or two and then be coughing, quite a bit. And that's your body telling you something right there, I would think, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, it's showing that you're taking in something that's irritating, whether it's the trachea, the tube that leads to the lungs, or the lungs itself. But yeah, anytime we have coughing, it is. It's an irritant. So the body's trying to say, get this out, whether it be a bacteria, a virus, an irritant, smoke. So certainly our body has much more defense mechanisms than we really even think about.
Listen to your body and listen to Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most. Thank you, sir. Talk to you next week.
Take care. Talk soon. Yep.